morning. There was a verse that Charles and I have been using during this time of itineration, visiting churches and talking about our work, and we failed to provide that to y'all this morning to include in your bulletin, but I would like to read that for you. If you want to follow along, it's Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. It's on page 671 of your Pew Bible. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. This is the word of God.
Get organized here. I don't do this for a profession, so I need to kind of make sure I've got everything just right. It's a pleasure to be here today, meeting people, sharing about our work. One of the real joys we have as we travel around the country visiting churches is seeing all the beautiful sanctuaries, and this is one that is among the tops. We've seen some very pretty ones, but you have a beautiful church here. Just a little bit over a year ago, Melissa and I were beginning a new thing in our lives. We drove to the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, followed by our son-in-law, Eric, who was driving a rented truck containing our 20 pieces of luggage, basically our belongings that we had in the whole world. We hugged and kissed our son Brian, our daughter Megan, and grandchildren Lucy and Max, and Eric, of course, and wiped away some tears and began our journey to Zambia. Along the way, we missed our connection in Johannesburg and lost some of our luggage, the last of which finally arrived in Lusaka 10 days after we did. Our journey to arrive at the point of entering mission service at an age when many are beginning to ponder retirement was anything but straight or smooth. It was just life.
Isaiah's writings to the children of Israel come at a bleak time in their history. They were in captivity. They had lost everything that they thought they would keep forever, and they were homesick for the land and the blessing that God had promised them. In some ways, Charles and I were like the Israelites. Things we thought would make us happy forever were no longer making us happy. And I think Charles in particular felt like he was in captivity because he really no longer had any interest in the job that he had been doing for about 20 years. I had quit my job of 16 years to retire, but it was really because I could just no longer stand the craziness of my job at a law firm. We hadn't yet perceived that something new that God had waiting for us.
By now, some of you are probably starting to think from listening to us talk, they're not from around here. If you haven't guessed yet, Texas is home for us. And for the better part of our lives, we lived in San Antonio, where we're members of Northwood Presbyterian Church. We already mentioned our children, Brian, our son Brian, and our daughter Megan. But our second-born child, Holden, was born with chronic medical problems and severe disabilities. In 2005, just after Holden's 18th birthday, he passed away. During Holden's life, we struggled to make our way in the wilderness. We struggled with doctors, we struggled with schools, and we struggled with each other. But through our struggles, our faith sustained us. And after Holden's death, we began to perceive the new way that God had waiting for us. Although we think of Holden constantly, we don't dwell on the past or what might have been. We do consider the ways that Holden blessed our lives and how God showed us how we might use those experiences to help others. And we're thankful God has shown us a new thing along the way. Several years after Holden's passing, we felt God calling us to short-term international mission, which eventually led us to the Democratic Republic of Congo. There we began to feel a stronger calling from God in our life to full-time mission service. In Congo, we saw severe malnutrition and wondered how we might use my background in agriculture to serve. We began a time of discernment, which lasted a couple of years, and that eventually led us to Zambia. When we landed in Lusaka in March of 2016, our new lives began. We were greeted by PCUSA Regional Liaison for East Africa, Nancy Collins, and the leaders of our partner church, the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian Synod of Zambia, or CCAP Zambia. Beginning that day and every day since, we've been welcomed and loved by our Zambian church and friends. After spending the first 2 weeks in Lusaka, our new friends, Nancy and the church leaders, accompanied us to our new home in Lundazi, where our orientation continued. We learned about the different programs of CCAP Zambia and how our work would fit into the holistic ministry of the church. And then on Sunday, April 3rd, during worship, Nancy, CCAP Zambia General Secretary Reverend Maleka Kabandama, and CCAP Zambia moderator Reverend Dr. Victor Chilenji handed us over to our new church congregation, our new church family at David McConaughey Congregation, and we watched as they walked out the back of the door. We wondered what lay in store for us. I can't speak for Melissa, but perhaps a little bit of uncertainty and self-doubt tried to creep into my mind. I wondered if God was going to be true to the promise to make a way in the wilderness for me. I realized soon enough that God kept that promise. We were welcomed with warmth and love from our new church and neighbors in Lundazi. And since that time, we're constantly perceiving new things springing up in our lives. Although some might consider eastern Zambia to be a wilderness, it really isn't much different than South Texas, where we're from.
Not long after we arrived in Zambia, we learned that our partner, CCAP, had been waiting for a mission co-worker to fill the development specialist position that Charles has taken since 2011. Reverend Gerald Peary told us that there is an African proverb that says, "Walking slowly doesn't prevent someone from arriving." That proverb and this verse from Isaiah and a poem by Robert Frost, "The Road Not Taken," seem somehow connected to me, especially these lines from the poem. "I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." While CCAP was waiting for a mission co-worker to travel the road less traveled to Zambia, not one person took that road. Reverend Peary told us that during the 5 years that they waited, not one single person even applied for that position. This verse from Isaiah encourages us to be courageous, to look forward and not behind. And this is something that Charles and I have been working hard to do since we received word that we had been selected for this position. Charles and I courageously chose that road less traveled by, the road that no one else dared to travel, and it has made all the difference. We have a peace and a sense of fulfillment that we didn't have before we took this path. Isaiah talks about a new road that the Lord creates for his people, a way in the wilderness. I have wondered why no one else attempted this way before us. Or maybe the way just appeared, created by God just for us. Maybe, or probably, God knew it would take us a while to find it. We were wandering in the woods for quite a while before we came upon it. And as Frost said, and as God knew, it's made all the difference.
In my work in agriculture in Zambia, I encounter new things and new ways constantly. Keep in mind, new ways don't necessarily mean new technological advances. I bring my Western training and experience and biases with me to Zambia. I've learned new ways of field preparation, plowing, planting, and harvesting. For example, before coming to Zambia, I'd never personally seen a field plowed with oxen. To watch Jackson Bonda, a church elder and Chisefu Model Farm board member, guide his two oxen as they plowed the field at Chisefu was a joy. Lax Nzimba showed me how to plant maize or corn by hand. The method is primitive by Western standards, but just as effective if done correctly. I also watched as women dug gompani, or planting basins, which is another method used to plant crops. And at harvest time, the women from CCAP Chisefu Congregation's Umanyano, or Christian's Women Guild, walked through the field pulling ears from the stalks and removing the shucks. I saw their joy as they worked, talking and laughing and happy to have an opportunity to earn some money. When I consider Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, it hits me that doing a new thing can simply mean doing a different thing. Yes, in the Zambian context, a new thing isn't necessarily the most technologically advanced method, but it is different, and it's new to us.
Before we left for Zambia, my prayer request was for patience to discern where God was leading me. I knew that He already had a plan for me, a road He wanted me to follow. I just didn't know what it was, and I wasn't sure it would be what I wanted. Through listening to our partners' needs, and not just mine, it became apparent that the CCAP Health Department was where I was being led. All of those years of dealing with doctors and taking care of Holden and advocating and educating parents had laid the foundation for me to be able to say yes to the CCAP's request to partner with them in building the capacity of their health department. It wasn't really what I had imagined before we left, and changing my vision for where I thought I would be took a little time. That's the hardest part, isn't it? Trusting that this thing that God is leading you to will be what you need. And change is hard. And one of the phrases that people use all the time to try to avoid change is, but we've always done it this way. I think Isaiah is telling us that God encourages us to look forward and be willing to change. He wants us to perceive that He is doing something new in us, even if it's something that makes us uncomfortable. He wants us to forget the past and move forward, but we can't move forward down that new path if we don't perceive that God is doing a new thing in us right now. He's constantly working in our lives, preparing a path through our wilderness. Our wilderness may be loneliness, illness, unhappiness, or grief. And it would have been really easy for Charles and I to get stuck in grief over Holden's death. And we did for a while. But God put so many people and experiences in our lives to help us at just the right time. When we are lost in the wilderness of our lives, I think it's important to trust in our faith. So even if we can't perceive the new thing that God is doing, the new road through and out of that wilderness, we know that He is doing that work in us. No matter how slowly we may be walking, if we are walking with God, we will arrive. We will come out of that wilderness and discover our new thing. Your new thing doesn't have to be moving to Zambia, but we'd love for you to come visit. That new thing can be something as simple as a new job, a new relationship, a new Bible study, or making a new friend. But you must be able to perceive that new thing. So keep your eyes open and your heart open and be willing to step out in faith down a new road, even if it's a little scary. Like meeting that new neighbor or volunteering to lead a Bible study, or the thing that would scare me the most, running Vacation Bible School. Charles and I are so very grateful that this congregation is walking this journey in Zambia with us. And we are grateful every day that you are taking steps on the way that God is making in the wilderness. I hope that you will keep your heart and your eyes open and you'll perceive that new thing that God is doing in your life at this very moment. We invite you to follow us on social media and to sign up to receive our newsletter. Like Laura had spoke about, there's some documents and some paper just outside the door of the sanctuary. It's really important for us to try to be connected. We're Presbyterians, after all, and that's what that means, to be part of a connectional church. You stay connected. So please sign up for those things so we can keep you in touch with what we're doing, and so you can learn about the people that we're walking alongside with in Zambia. We also would ask if you would consider putting our support into your budget as a congregation or individually for every year of the term that Charles and I will be in Zambia. As important as the financial support is, though, your prayer support is the most important thing to us. As our friend, Reverend Dr. Victor Chilingi would say, may the Lord richly bless you.